were in a classroom and had the opportunity to learn about different cultures or languages, how would that impact you as a student today?
I feel like it would help me career-wise, working with other people.
In what way? So how would it help you in your career? How would it help you interact with other people?
It'll expose me to new people and new languages, new cultures.
Take a moment to think back to your childhood. Focus on a time you met someone who was different from you. Did they wear different clothes, eat a different lunch, speak differently, or did they just look different? You may remember or you may not. But do you remember your interaction with them? What was that like? If so, this experience from your past may explain how your interactions with people from various cultural backgrounds affects you today. It's these events that shape the type of adults we become. One nonprofit organization recognizes this and wants to change the way elementary classrooms expose children to new cultures at an early age. Empatical allows teachers to share their classroom with a classroom from a different part of the country and/or the world. I had a chance to sit down with two of Empatical's employees to learn more about their work in building empathy one classroom at a time. I'm Ms. Mack, and this is Hall Pass Break. So I want to thank both of you for actually being on the show today and introduce yourselves and tell us more about Empatico, so how the company was started and what its mission is.
I'm Kristen Onstad. I work for Empatico, obviously. I've been here about a year and a half since we started. I came here by lots of different jobs over the years, but started out as a former teacher in California, second grade teacher, and have worked in education in various capacities ever since. What brought me to Empatico was an opportunity to start an organization and a tool for teachers that was really mission-driven and free, and seeking to make a big difference in the world and the way kids see it and experiencing it. So what the background of Empatico is, we are... our seed funding right now comes from the Kind Foundation, which is related to Kind Snacks, the snack bars, as you probably see them around. And, you know, the founder of Kind is a gentleman named Daniel Lubetsky, who is an incredibly passionate entrepreneur. For many years, he worked in peace work and, bridge building work, a lot of work in the Middle East. He grew up in Mexico and came to the United States when he was a young man. And his father, Daniel's father, was actually a Holocaust survivor. And so Daniel grows up and still very much talks about his experience as a child learning from his father and that experience. And his dad's stories about why he survived those years. And he, you know, his dad used to tell him stories about soldiers that would sneak him food. I think Daniel grew up very, very much understanding what happens when we stop seeing each other as human. And committed his whole life to ensuring that that never happens again. So, you know, fast forward, he started Kind in the early 2000s, and as it became increasingly successful, was really committed to using that money for good in the world. He started thinking about the early ideas of what Empatico is today, years ago. Scribbles in his notebook, but didn't become an idea until very recently. So a couple years ago, he got pretty serious about it, started hiring a team of people to come together and think, you know, hey, how do we help the next generation really act with empathy and kindness? What could we build? What could we do? What can we contribute? And, you know, we did a lot of thinking, and the thing we landed on was a free tool available online to any teacher around the world who can sign up and connect their students to other students around the world. Right now, we are targeted 7 to 11 years old, so younger kids. We can talk more about why that is in a minute. And so we built it, launched it last November, and have been working to rapidly get the word out to educators that this is a tool for them to use.
Yeah, and I'm Eric Rowe. I'm the head of partnerships here at Empatico. I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. I was a former teacher myself. I taught high school English for 6 years in Brooklyn. And then spent, you know, a few years after that as a coach and did some human capital consulting before coming to Empatico, specifically working with organizations as they try to infuse anti-bias and anti-racist practices into their organization. So it was for me a natural progression to Empatico, an organization that's really trying to work with a population of students and teachers who are sort of at the forefront of that and ensuring that we are building a society that is kinder and more empathetic in general.
How does Empatico work in the classroom?
So we try to build Empatico to be as easy as possible for a teacher to use. So simply all teachers, regardless of where they are geographically, they go to empatico.org. They hit the sign up for free button on the top right of our website. It takes about 5 minutes to sign up. All we do is ask for very basic information about the teacher itself. We don't collect any student information whatsoever. A teacher selects at least two of the activities. We have 9 available on the platform that they are interested in. They select their availability during a given week where they might be available to have a video interaction. And then they're then placed in the matching pool. And at that point, they can be matched in as little as an hour. Our algorithm runs every hour. But in less than about a week, a teacher is matched to another teacher around the world.
How many classrooms are you a part of, and where are they located?
Yeah. To date, we've got over 3,000 teachers signed up. Those teachers are in various stages of being matched or in conversations with their match or actually having their kids connect to each other. And we've got very wide representation, so representing more than 90 countries and in all 50 states in the U.S. and rapidly growing. I mean, we're at this point, we're seeing several hundred sign up a week.
That's amazing. Just what countries are you a part of?
Oh my gosh, of the 90? I mean,
maybe 5.
Yeah, I mean, you know, near us, I mean, Canada, Mexico, we've had a partnership in Africa where we've got teachers in Nigeria, we've got many in India, Egypt, the UK. We could keep going. So many. Where else am I missing that's interesting?
I mean, they're just like, we have large groups of, I mean, you mentioned Nigeria. Yeah. Colombia is another one for us. Argentina is another one for us. So we also try to reach out to territories, the United States territories as well. So Puerto Rico and Guam.
Yeah. The limitation right now for Empatico Connections is they need to happen in English. So we're doing a lot of outreach where basic criteria are possible. So, you know, technology is there, internet connection is there, and students can converse in English, at least with some teacher assistance. So that's the limitation. So, you know, we won't see as many signups in countries where English is less prevalent, but we're working on that. Eventually, there'll be more options for asynchronous connections and also connections across different languages.
And you both were once teachers, and some of your staff were actually teachers, too, at one time. How has that impacted your organization?
Yeah, I think, you know, when I joined the organization close to 7 months ago now, and for me, I always thought Empatico was more than a tool, you know, and I think, yes, it is a tool for teachers to use, and we're trying to build something that can be easily integrated into whatever teachers are doing in their classroom. But for us, we see this as more than that. We see this as an opportunity for teachers to be part of a larger call to action to spread empathy around the world and to do it with students who are sort of the most susceptible to developing positive perceptions of people who are different. So for us, we it sort of takes me back to that time when I was a teacher and you're part of something larger. And I think that element sort of exists within the organization. And even though that folks, not all folks were teachers, we do have people from like very diverse backgrounds and just diverse perspectives of the education field in general through research or through sort of volunteer work or through actually being in the classroom or leading classrooms or leading schools. So I think that is the biggest sort of aspect that's like infused into the culture here.
Now, I know both of you were in the classroom, but Kristen, you were once a second grade teacher. And before coming to the organization, you actually worked at other educational organizations. How did you use those skills from the classroom to help you in this organization or even the other educational organizations as well?
I guess that's a really good question. So many ways. But the one I was thinking about that is particularly true at Empatico is we've been given this feedback before, but we just really value educators. We respect them. I think there are moments that we sit at work together and think, how do we lift voices up? How do we celebrate the work that's being done? How do we empower teachers to be they're already leaders. So how do we just only, you know, help them do that more? I think it might sound cheesy, but I think for me and all of us, we really believe that like teachers can and do change the world. And we want to be a part of that, and we want to make it even easier, and we want to ensure that more educators have that opportunity. And frankly, that the more students have the kind of opportunity to have a teacher that makes them go like, whoa, you know, like, whoa, I remember that year that my teacher helped me see the world in a new way, or helped me see myself in the world in a new way, or new possibilities. And so that, I think that just groundedness, I think I personally try very, very hard to never lose sight of, and I think we work collectively to really find those voices. I think practically we are working to build Empatico into kind of a voice that is about us stepping aside and saying, like, you know, Empatico is in many ways sort of a gift out to the world. And we want to lead to the extent that we must to build it and get it out, because it's complicated to build the technology and all the pieces that go into it. But ultimately, our vision is that we let it go and educators lead the way. And they become ultimately this example of thousands and hopefully someday millions of kids and of educators saying, like, hey, this is important. Like, we got to talk to each other across many different lines.
I love the lessons that you have. They're absolutely fantastic. And there are so many topics that you have. You have about the weather and folk tales, and even maps of where people live. How do you decide which topics are best to teach?
Yeah, so our activities are all on universal topics. And the main reason for that is to ensure that the topics are inclusive to students regardless of where they are geographically. So students being able to talk about play or the weather, since those are things that tend to be universal. So what we wanted to do is ensure that regardless of where you are in the world, you can enter the conversation and be a part of it as sort of on a level playing field versus having a classroom that is more knowledgeable than another in a specific topic. What we wanted to do is create that level ground for children. We also just create our activities based off of teacher feedback and what teachers are asking for. So we started Empatico with four activities. We actually had five new activities over the past 3 months. And those activities do come from what teachers are asking for. They want more like cultural exchanges or opportunities for more student voice. And what we try to do is build our activities so that children and teachers sort of have those platforms to sort of amplify their voices as well, even within activity.
Additionally, we based in research. This will be an oversimplification, but one of the fundamental things we asked when we started developing the activities was, how do you take a group of younger students on one side of a camera and a group on another side of a camera, and what is the design for that activity that actually the output is the things we've been talking about? It's increased curiosity. It's a positive perceptions of other people. It's a real like joy and interest in learning more about others and about themselves. It's opportunities to reflect on their own world as they know it and what they just learned that might change what they think or what they thought they knew, or lead them to ask new questions. And so that was like ultimately the design question is, how do you do that? You know, because we've all been on various video calls and they can be, you know, not transformational, they can just be video calls. And the question was, how do we make this a moment that's really powerful, that has measurable impact for teachers, hopefully, but, you know, also for students? And so the activities are all built with that in mind, is how do you architect essentially that experience such that it has real power for kids?
Yeah, I think just an additional, and this will add some application to how Empatico works in general, is that each activity is planned to have three separate parts, the first part being the preparation stage where the teachers and the students are preparing for this interaction. On the topic, students are creating questions or creating presentations, doing research on their own before they have the video interaction on Empatico. The second step is that interaction aspect where they present their work to the other classroom. They're asking questions. They're sort of have that opportunity to express that curiosity in the other group. And that happens on this part of Empatico. And then the last part is always the reflection where children have that opportunity to really cement those takeaways, you know, where we have teachers who have asked a prompt like X and now I think Y. And those moments are really powerful moments where children are just reflecting out loud about that experience.
How about you? Do you feel like if people were exposed to people at a younger age, would that help them become more empathetic and understanding of other cultures?
Yeah, because kids nowadays, they're like judgmental towards other people. So starting at a younger age will open their mind to new things.
Started on how like to do certain things and how like to appeal towards certain people and stuff like that. So yeah, and a younger age it'll fit like differently. It'll like start because that's when you start to like notice things and stuff like that, and it just like builds you up to when you like get older.
Another question, when do you think is the best age for kids to learn about like people who are different from them and being sympathetic and understanding?
As soon as possible.
The hand signals that you have are can vary from different cultures, and you actually decided on Me Too in order for students to relate to one another. So why did you choose that one, and are you looking to other hand signals to use in the classroom?
Yes, and we're essentially looking at research to understand How can we give students multiple ways to engage? So, for example, some nonverbal ways, both because, I mean, practically it's not possible for every student to be at the microphone or at the camera all the time, but also because we know that's important, right? There has to be multiple ways to engage. So there's that. And also because a lot of the neuroscience shows that actually demonstrating similarities and doing that with a hand signal is a really powerful way to get at these outcomes we're talking about. So empathy, positive perceptions of other people, and a physical demonstration of that, if either verbal or physical, is a way to put that research into practice in the classroom. Could we introduce more? Yes, as long as it furthers that outcome.
How does the matching work when it comes to the classrooms?
Yeah, and I think this is where Empatico is unique in the sense that we have our own video tool. We have our own activities, and then the matching algorithm is a huge part of our platform as well, and that's all based off of the responses that teachers input when they sign up for an account. So we match on overlapping interests and activities, time availability, and at least 300 miles of difference between the two classrooms.
An article in Education Week Press discussed how the program helps to teach empathy, as you have been saying throughout. It continues on stating, the best way to do this is to give students experiences learning with others who come from very different backgrounds. I wholeheartedly agree with this. How has Empatico helped to develop this idea in the classroom?
Yeah, I mean, so one of the things I suggested earlier was just designing, for lack of a better word, a one-stop shop to make that possible. So, I mean, practically speaking, it is very, I mean, many teachers don't integrate this kind of exchange, especially international, but even domestic, in their teaching. It's just hard to do. I mean, when we started building Empatico, what we heard from so many teachers was like, I'd love to do that. That sounds really awesome and really powerful, but like, I either don't know how, or I just don't have time. And, you know, when even if you have the time, the how is pretty complicated for many educators who were doing it and who are out in front, you know, making sure these connections were happening in their classroom. It involved a combination of like Twitter connections and then striking up relationships with educators around the world and then coordinating across time zones to find a way to make that connection. And then the question of like, great, once we pull it off, what do we have our students do? And we just, you know, saw an opportunity to say, like, let's bundle all those challenges together and try to see if we can solve for making this much, much easier. So that's what Empatico is designed to try to solve for. I think that in addition to just making it possible, as we talked about, the activities are designed explicitly for those outcomes. So not just any video interaction, but a video interaction that actually makes a difference.
Right now, you all are focusing on the ages 7 through 11. So why did you choose that age group specifically?
And I think, feel free to layer on, for us, we built the Empatico and especially the Empatico activities grounded in the neuroscience that suggests that children around the ages of 8 to 10, but that's why we bookend 7 to 11, are the most prone to developing either positive or negative perceptions of people who are different unless they face a big life event later on in their lives. What you've developed around that age is what we tend to keep for the rest of your life. And what we wanted to do is ensure that children had a really meaningful and positive opportunity to have those interactions across lines of difference. And again, lines of difference on every state level, religion, race, so many different levels. And we just hope to just build a tool to be able to foster that right now within 7 to 11-year-old students.
And you mentioned that you're able to match the teachers in different classrooms, but how much control do teachers have when it comes to the matches that you make?
So, you know, when a teacher signs up for an account, they go through the matching algorithm so they can be matched with someone here in the U.S. So if it's a teacher here in the U.S. who's signing up for an account, you could get matched here in the U.S., but there's also a chance you get matched internationally. And I think what one piece of feedback that we've gotten on the positive side about Empatico is the level of autonomy that teachers have. And we, as former teachers, understand just the power that teachers have just as individuals to be able to bring tools like this to their students. So teachers are the ones who are the holders of the account. They are the ones who are bringing Empatico to the classroom and then exposing their students to it. So we see a lot of value at that level where teachers are at the forefront of this movement to, again, spread empathy and kindness. And we just see a lot of value in that. We see the power of like one individual teacher being part of a larger sort of group that's sort of heading in this direction. Teachers have a lot of autonomy to make tweaks to what they want to do, add questions, as all teachers want to customize activities to sort of make it their own. But we really do value, and as Kristen mentioned earlier, the power of the teacher and understand that every teacher is a leader, and this is just another opportunity for them to have a leadership stage.
One thing I'll add on that is teachers, Empatico doesn't work in the way that you can go in and like choose a match. So right now the algorithm is built so that you'll create your account, and then what happens on the back end is we essentially match based on some criteria. So overlapping time availability, overlapping interest in activities, and at least 300 miles apart. That 300 marker evolves as we evolve and as we get bigger. The more teachers that sign up, the more quality and difference in matches are possible. But right now we don't give people a choice. Part of the reason is that actually just comes from feedback we got. We actually asked teachers if they would prefer to know who they're being matched with or just be matched. And it was interesting. We actually in the early days got a lot of feedback of like, I want to be surprised. which is interesting because I think it opens up and you think about our mission, like it opens up matches you may not think about. Or that might be like a delightful surprise. And so we're playing with that. I mean, there's some tweaks we need to make to the platform and that we're working on to try to smooth out the matching even more over time. And someday we might implement some choice or choices over time. But right now, usually it's actually, it works pretty beautifully usually.
I didn't write this down, but I remembered this question.
how often do teachers log into the to Empatico to actually do the discussions and the lessons? Is it like once a year? It shouldn't be once a year. Like maybe four times a year, or maybe like is it like on a weekly basis? I just want to know what's the timeline that teachers can use Empatico throughout the school year.
Teachers have control over that. So we have teachers who connect on Empatico a couple times in a school year, but then we have teachers who connect 8 to 10 times in a school year. And, you know, even on our Twitter page just recently, there are two teachers, one in Vermont, one in Tampa, and they're planning out the rest of, like, their next four connections. You know, so, like, it's really, we leave it up to the teachers. We do provide folks with, like, the research behind it and, like, the importance of making multiple connections. Like, we give people sort of just recommendations, but we don't require that teachers use Empatico X amount of times. We really sort of leave it up to them and hopefully build something that they want to come back to constantly. And I think that's more of a marker of like our successes. Do teachers want to continue to come back and use the tool?
And teachers can log in. They do log in often. I mean, all the interface when you have an account, so you'll have your own dashboard as a teacher. There's a chat feature in there. You can chat with your partner. You can do a video call with your partner. All the lessons are in there, all the activities, other resources, teaching resources, letter to parents, privacy policy, all this technical stuff you might need, suggestions for how you can set up your room. And there's also, you know, you can see your own calendar with your availability and then your partner teacher's availability that's translated for time zones. So you can see where your overlap is. So there's lots of reasons to go into the platform, and we do see teachers doing a lot to chat with each other and stay in touch. We also just released Empatico on mobile now, so you can do it on your phone. We also just released SMS, so texting now. You'll get a text notification when your partner teacher has reached out to you. So more and more we're trying to make it just super, super seamless and very easy to be in a lot, just so that communication is really seamless.
Key is it's flexible. That's what I wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Very flexible.
Okay, great. Besides exposing the students to other cultures, what impact do you hope Empatico will have on the classroom, the students, and the teachers?
Yeah, we hope ultimately that Empatico changes the game for exchange opportunities and for connections like this. And what we mean by that is that Empatico is free and always will be. That it is so simple that we all can't imagine a day as educators when we didn't have other voices in our classroom from around the world. And we just hope that it becomes a normal dialogue and part of teaching practice. Empatico is built, one teacher described it to us, as a plug-in to her day and to her curriculum. So plug it in to something you're already teaching, to bring a global lens, to bring a human lens, and to have student voice and curiosity really drive teaching and learning. At the big end of the day, we have a really big goal, and that's what it is. And I think, you know, sometimes I describe to, like, my mom, who wonders what I do for work, like, we have a vision that kids get to talk to each other, right? That there's no reason we can't talk to each other across, as Eric said, tons of different lines. And so our hope is this starts to break that down, and then as adults, we live into that. And our short-term targets, so we're hoping to reach 1 million kids by 2020, which is, you know, somewhere in the ballpark of 40,000 educators around the world. So, you know, we have giant goals, and we think if we can hit that at least it tells us we're on the right path. We actually want to reach many, many more, but at least we're on the right path.
I just want to say we have 1.1 million students in New York City, so yeah, I don't see why there is no partnership, actually.
Right.
So I think the key thing from this interview is, like, the fact that New York City could do it and that it's fun, flexible, and free.
Yeah.
You sold me.
To underscore the fun part, I think important. I mean, research shows this too, right? If you're having fun doing this, it's going to stick. I mean, we know that about teaching. We know that about learning. And I think, you know, if you watch our Twitter feed, we get such joy every day from the teachers who post videos and photos of these connections happening. We just, you know, just this week, there was connections happening with classrooms who were in the, you know, affected by the hurricane, and their partner classes and students wishing them well. And it just makes us smile. We see joy, we see dancing, we see singing,
lots of dancing,
so much dancing. Yes, so much dancing. Yes, and the joy is really there. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, like, I know what got me out of bed in the morning on the days I was in the classroom and I was so tired was that, you know? It's that. You stand up there at that classroom, you're sitting on the floor, you know, with seven-year-olds, and it's that utter joy that you just help them learn something that just kind of flipped their world. And I mean, that's our hope, is that more of that happens more often. And frankly, with students leading the way.
If every elementary classroom was able to expose children to cultures from Nigeria, Mexico, the United Kingdom, and other countries, how would that start to change a person's worldview on what it means to be a human being? Would it finally get people to recognize various languages and cultures as parts of who we are, not to fear, but to respect? Who knows? But if there is a program that is fun, flexible, and free available to expose children to people beyond their neighborhood, why not give it a chance? This conversation took place over a year ago. Kristen and Eric continue to work for Empatico. The company continues its work in connecting classrooms from across the globe to each other. I would like to thank Kristen and Eric for taking the time to talk with me about Empatico and their work with the company. Thank you, Educators for Excellence, for introducing me to Empatico. Music was done by Macchiato Funky, Scott Nice, and Patrick Kios. Be sure to check out the website hallpassbreak.com to learn more about my guest and Empatico. You can listen to this and other episodes on iTunes and Google Play. And be sure to follow the show on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. On the next episode, you will have the chance to hear from an educator about how he uses Empatico in his classroom. So be sure to tune in next month. And to leave you with a quote by Bronx-born astronomer, astrophysicist, and author Neil deGrasse Tyson. Humans aren't as good as we should be in our capacity to empathize with feelings and thoughts of others, be they humans or other animals on Earth. So maybe part of our formal education should be training in empathy. Imagine how different the world would be if, in fact, that were reading, writing, arithmetic, empathy.
Thanks for listening.